You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the third and final hour tonight of the live broadcast of the Political Cesspool for Saturday evening, January the 10th. A busy few weeks it's been for us here at TPC. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for sustaining our efforts and all that we do with your prayers and moral support and, of course, your financial support as well, without which we wouldn't have lasted past the first few months, much less the first decade. We're here because of you, and I don't lose sight of that. Keith Alexander doesn't lose sight of that. Eddie the Bombardier Miller, a.k.a. Pappy, who has the night off tonight, he doesn't lose sight of that, and neither does Winston Smith, who is joining me now. Winston, though, you know, I received, to my pleasant surprise, a handful of emails last week asking what happened to Winston Smith's top 10 moments in hate. Now, I do a top 10 moments of the political cesspool for the year that was. So does Scoop Stanton. But Winston does the top 10 moments in the year in hate, or the top 10 most hateful moments in the year that was. We should probably find a way to market that more directly. But nevertheless, people wondered where that was. So, well, Winston fell victim to the logjam that we all did. But he's here to give us those top 10 right now. So we got to work through 10 moments in hate in the next, oh, I don't know, 10 minutes. So let's get to it. Winston.
Did you say 10 minutes?
Well, we got about 4 minutes in this segment, 5 minutes maybe, and then about 8 in the next. So we got to make haste.
Okay. I'm going to have to call it down a bit. All right. It was a tough year trying to figure out which ones to include. I'm telling you, folks, 2014 is the most hateful year I've seen since I've been doing this list, and I say that every year, but 2014 was especially egregious as far as hate was concerned. So let's start with number 10. We didn't have to wade very far into 2014 for the hatred to begin. On January 2nd, we saw a blog called Diary of a Negress, and the entry thereon was titled 21 Things White People Need to Know for 2014. It was a list of anti-white complaints and insults that I actually liked because the authoress treats us to an honest, if revolting, display of the racist of color attitude toward white people, beginning with number one, which says, every true African thinks you are a cold, heartless, tyrannical, lying, devious, untrustworthy, manipulative, demonic, and then she ends it with a bad word that begins with a B. And my friends, before you get angry or feel insulted by that statement, think about what she wrote. She's telling us what blacks think about white people. Not that we need to be told. For decades, we've known what blacks think about us. All she did was verify it. So keep that in mind when you're around blacks, that they hate you nigh uncontrollably. All right, number 9. Black students at the University of California at Los Angeles, or UCLA, who feel that it's racist to hold black graduate students to a college-level standard of writing. 25 black students staged a protest of Professor Val Rust because he had the gall to correct the spelling, grammar, and punctuation on papers written by some black students. These crybabies claimed that correcting the papers was racially insensitive and microaggression. Now, I'm going to go ahead and give you a definition of microaggression here. It's not my definition. Somebody else wrote it, but a microaggressions are the everyday verbal, nonverbal, and environmental slights, snubs, or insults, whether intentional or unintentional, which communicate hostile, derogatory, or negative messages to target persons based solely upon their marginalized group identity. Wow. Here's part of the statement issued by those children. Quote, a hostile campus climate has been the norm for students of color in this class throughout the quarter, as our epistemological and methodological commitments have been repeatedly questioned by our classmates and our instructor. The barrage of questions by white colleagues and the grammar lessons by the professor have contributed to a hostile class climate. My gosh, those are some big words and a long sentence, too. I wonder who the white person was who wrote that for them. Number 8, Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper. I love that name. I could say it all day. Hickenlooper, Hickenlooper, Hickenlooper. Anyhow, he kowtowed to pressure from the NAACP, and he suspended the execution of one Nathan Dunlap, who in 1993 hid in the bathroom of a Chuck E. Cheese in Colorado. After they closed, he shot 5 white employees execution style in the head. 4 of them died. 3 of them were only teenagers. After being arrested, he gloated about the killings. The justification Dunlap gave for his action was that he had been fired from Chuck E. Cheese and he wanted to take revenge on a bunch of white people. It was pure hatred of white people. Governor Hickenlooper was pressured by the ACLU, the NAACP, the Latino Forum, the Colorado Council of Churches, which is mostly made up of black churches, and even former Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who insisted that the death penalty is disproportionately imposed on blacks and Hispanics. The cowardly, groveling governor did not consult with any family members of the victims before he commuted this thug sentence. Apparently in Colorado, not appeasing the NAACP is worse than murdering 5 innocent white people. Number 7 on the list of the year in hate. Western Washington University for desperately searching for ways to decrease white student enrollment. A school-wide questionnaire, excuse me, I'm sorry about that. My throat is getting very dry from this cold. A school-wide questionnaire at Western Washington University asked the community, quote, how do we make sure that in future years we are not as white as we are today, unquote. The question was released in the Communications and Marketing Department's daily newsletter, and it comes on the heels of admonishments given in multiple convocation addresses by the president of the college, Bruce Shepard, for the university's failure to be less white. And here's what the university president said in 2012. Every year from this stage and at this time, you have heard me say that if in the decades ahead we are as white as we are today, we will have failed as a university. And in recent blog posts on the college's website, Shepard echoes those sentiments again, saying that those who do not agree, quote, have not thought through the implications of what is ahead for us, or, more perniciously, assume that we can continue unchanged, end quote. He also says, in the decades ahead, should we be as white as we are today, we will be relentlessly driven toward mediocrity, or become a sad shadow of our current self, he wrote. Now, he's saying that if you have more white students, you're going to be mediocre, when we just read that it's black students who demand to be given lower standards of performance in academia. Well, folks, if your white child is considering Western Washington University for an education, then they should know that they are not welcome. Number 6, the new Black Panther Party, for their insidious presence in the Ferguson, Missouri violence, and for their stated aim of killing as many white people as possible in 2015.
So hold on, Winston. We have to take a full timeout, if you will, in the parlance of professional basketball. We will take a timeout. We'll be back, and we will resume Winston's top 10 most hateful moments in 2014 at number 6 as we work all the way down to number 1 tonight on the Political Cesspool.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test, free, scientifically proven today.
We fought We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. Where heritage and responsibility instill character. Where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental. Where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Welcome back, everybody, to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool, as we are now counting down our top 10 most hateful moments of 2014, according to the man who compiles this list for us, Winston Smith. We're now down to number 6, which was cut off by the commercial break. Winston, number 6.
All right, number 6. Folks, please forgive my voice. I think it's going away. I drank a bunch of water, hope to continue this, but let's get on with it. Number 6, the exemplars of hate for 2014. The new Black Panther Party, for their insidious presence in the Ferguson, Missouri violence, and for their stated aim of killing as many white people as possible in 2015, going so far as to make plans for raising an army. Folks, I've seen video of armed groups of the new Black Panther Party patrolling streets. They are carrying semi-automatic weapons. Now, can you imagine what would happen if any white advocacy group made such an announcement and carried out such a thing? The new Black Panther Party has been coddled by the Obama holder so-called Justice Department, and I saw an article today that said there's strong evidence that the head of the new Black Panther Party has been to the White House recently to meet with Obama. Number 5 of the exemplars of hate for 2014, the usual suspects of white hate, hetero hate, Christian hate in the U.S., the NAACP, the SPLC, the ADL, National Council of RASA, the Democrat National Committee, they're always going to be on the list just because they work tirelessly and ceaselessly for our extinction. They are well-funded, they are entrenched, and they are favored by the PC elites and by the mainstream media. Number 4, the entire community of races of color in Ferguson, Missouri, who lived up to every ghetto fool stereotype, from looting businesses to burning down buildings to threatening the families of police officers to threatening all white people in the surrounding area, all of which had no connection to Officer Darren Wilson defending himself against an enraged so-called gentle giant, demanding that the state and federal money be used to rebuild the town that they destroyed, to grabbing their crotches as they howled and screamed like spoiled brats. So effective were the daily and nightly mobs and gangs that major businesses are leaving Ferguson, Missouri, taking with them valuable goods, services, and jobs. So join me, folks, in sending a hearty well done to the black community of Ferguson, Missouri. Thank you, folks, for proving us correct again. All right. Excuse me, folks. Excuse that cough. Number three, Al Sharpton. I refuse to call him Reverend because that title is reserved for ministers of the Christian gospel. And Sharpton is neither a minister nor is he a Christian. Same goes for Jester Jackson. When did Sharpton ever preach a real gospel sermon meant to encourage Christians to closer fellowship with Jesus Christ? When has Sharpton ever persuaded a searching soul into fellowship with Jesus Christ? When was the last time Sharpton was in a church meeting that was a real service of Christian worship of God? Has he ever baptized anyone? Has he ever held the hand of an elderly saint who was passing into eternity? Has he ever counseled a family whose young daughter had gotten into trouble? Has he ever pronounced a couple husband and wife? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then I'd like to know when he did any of these things, because I don't think he ever has. Neither is he a so-called civil rights activist. No legislation has ever been passed because of his effort. No one can say that Sharpton has truly helped them in any way. Every situation into which he inserts himself eventually goes badly for those he says he's there to help. And innocent victims of his racial vandalism are left to try to salvage their reputations with the small consolation that he has once again been exposed to the charlatan that he is. Sharpton's tally of wreckage is long and obscene. With his record of failure, one must wonder why anyone would request his involvement in their situation. If you were an athlete, would you play for a coach whose team has lost every game it's played? If you were sick, would you go to a doctor whose every patient has died? If you were a traveler, would you fly an airline in which every flight has crashed? Those examples are exactly what people get when Coach Sharpton calls the plays, when Dr. Sharpton diagnoses or operates, when Captain Sharpton pilots the plane, and when Reverend Sharpton ministers. Number two on the list of exemplars of hate for 2014, Barack Obama, for allowing Al Sharpton an association with the White House. Some have said that Obama has elevated Sharpton. That is, he's adorned him with the prestige and credibility that comes from an association with the office of the presidency and the so-called bully pulpit. I disagree. Obama has defiled the office of the presidency by allowing access to such a slimy, dubious creature as Al Sharpton. I've seen any of the memes that say having Al Sharpton as an advisor on race relations is like having Jack the Ripper as an advisor for a dating service. Also, more reasons why Barack Obama is on the list. He brought tens of thousands of illegals in the U.S. and created what he called a, quote, humanitarian crisis, unquote, at the southern border. It was actually a crime scene. Many of those people were children who were quickly, secretly, and strategically placed around the country and brought with them diseases that sickened thousands of American children and even killed some. Obama even brought Ebola into this country. It seems that everything this president does is aimed at showing his detestation for the white majority in this country and his desire to reduce us to a minority. Excuse me again, folks. All right. Number one on the list of exemplars of hate for the year 2014, the mainstream media, with special recognition to CNN and the Huffington Post. Not only did they carry the water for Barack Obama, not only did they publish articles and opinions of people who have repeatedly demonstrated their hatred for the white race of this country, they also covered up horrendous crimes committed against white people by racists of color, racists of all colors. And they have covered up crimes that, as I said earlier, are becoming more brazen, more sadistic, and more frequent. The mainstream media has been the most hateful agency in this country this last year, and I expect they will do even more this year. you have it, folks. My list of the 10, top 10 exemplars of hate in 2014. James?
Here, ladies and gentlemen, for the one and only Winston Smith, who compiles this. It is why we work so hard to make it each year, so that at the last week, the very ending or the beginning of the new year, we get to hear his top 10 most despicable moments in hate. And he has outdone himself this year in compiling that particular top 10. It was a very hateful year, to be sure. And we were the recipients of quite a bit of that. Although some people on our staff, Winston, would submit that the IRS should be perpetually mentioned in your top 10. A word about that?
You're right. You're absolutely right, James. For their using their incredible power and unlimited resources to harass conservative groups. Yeah, but this was a tough year. There were so many examples, and already, James, I have three on the list for 2015.
Oh my goodness, three on the list for 2015, and it's barely 3 days old. It's January the 10th. This is going to be like 99 bottles of beer on the wall. We got to take a break. Stay tuned, Winston.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, the American Freedom Party .us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Well, we opened this show tonight by revisiting the program that we had last week. Of course, we had David Duke as our guest last week for the better part of 2 hours to talk about the Eye of the Storm, which he currently finds himself in as with regards to the Steve Scalise controversy, or so-called controversy. That controversy, if you will, still brews today. In fact, I read in one of hundreds of articles that have been posted about this, or printed rather, that the Democrats are gearing up and expect to raise tens of millions of dollars. Tens of millions of dollars will apparently flood into the coffers of the DNC as a result of the third highest ranking Republican supposedly attending a gathering that had an association with the former Louisiana representative David Duke. Well, we talked about that for 2 hours last week. A week has passed since that interview occurred, but yet news is still swirling around this media-manufactured controversy, and I could think of no better person to get the update from these waning moments of this broadcast than, once again, Representative David Duke himself. David, welcome back to the show.
Well, great to be here, and I hope the sound is good. How's the sound on my cell phone?
It is good enough for us. It is good indeed. And Winston Smith is co-hosting with us this week. He was not with us last week. But what can you tell us in terms of an update? And you might want to back away from your mic just a little bit there on the cell phone. But what has transpired? That is, what updates can you give us from last Saturday to tonight, David?
Well, I turned off the speakerphone, so hopefully this is a little better now.
That is better. That is better.
Okay, so it's still going crazy. I've done about 30 to 40 interviews. What's good about them, not every interview was like O'Reilly, where the guy didn't even give me a chance to get two words edgewise, but we had a lot of wonderful response. We got tremendous response from that show, and we broke new records on our radio program on the Rinse Radio Network, the David Duke Show. I come on every day, of course, at 10 o'clock, and because a lot of people saw through it, and a lot of people saw that O'Reilly's kind of like controlled opposition. He says a few things that European Americans like to say, but then he even attacked European civilization, as you know, in the interview. It was crazy. But we've done a lot of interviews, and when I have a chance to go on a radio show for, say, for half an hour or an hour, we have a chance to really express ourselves. And when we do, we always win. No matter what they do, no matter how nasty they are, no matter how appreciatory they are, we always win because the truth is on our side. True human rights are on our side. True freedom is on our side. All the things are really on our corner. You know, what we saw looking at this thing over the last 2 weeks now, it's shocking to see the true extent, the real extent of the Jewish extremist control over American politics and over our media. You know, we saw the media filled with articles about the danger, the huge danger that Steve Scalise, the new Republican majority whip for the United States Congress, would actually go to a meeting and be concerned about the heritage and rights of the European American people. I mean, it's the founding people of the United States. And, you know, the meeting wasn't actually centered on some of those kinds of issues. It was centered actually on the run-up of the Iraq War, which so damaged not just European Americans, but every American. Trillions of dollars were spent. Just think about it. Trillions of dollars were spent, and now we see half of Iraq with ISIS. You know, it was spent and wasted when it could have been so benefited the American people, given us tax breaks and other things we needed in terms of education, health care, and all those things that the American people need. And yet it was spent and wasted in a war for Israel. And that's what it was about. But the interesting thing is that, you know, we can be concerned about African-American rights and Hispanic-American rights or Mexican-American rights. La Raza Unida, you've talked about that many times, means the united race. That's great. And politicians, you know, the groups that most politicians have most spoken at, overwhelmingly in the United States, is not European-American groups for sure. There's only a few of those, tiny number of those. And it hasn't been even Mexican-American groups or African-American groups. You know what they've spoken at the most? It's Jewish-American groups, 2% of the American people. And that's because they have so much extraordinary power in media, government, finance. They literally control the finances of both the Republican and Democratic Party. It's not what I say. That's what the Washington Post reports, in fact, casually. The biggest contributors are both Romney and Obama. The biggest corporate contributor was Goldman Sachs of Blank, Fine, and Cohn. They control the Federal Reserve. They control our media, which is always attacking our heritage and values. They've spoken before Jewish groups. And there are literally dozens and dozens of them that are openly advocating Jewish rights, Jewish heritage, and Jewish principles, but they can't, you know, it would be absolute horrific, right? My good friend, if they just, with Mr. Steve Scalise would have come 12 years before he, you know, served as, got appointed to the whip of the Congress, if he had dared to come to an organization that believes in protecting and preserving European heritage and values, and by the way, as well as being concerned about the rights of all people in America and a decent and a good country for all Americans, that would be absolutely
funny.
Tragic, wouldn't it?
Well, it obviously it would. I mean, the double standard is so egregious. But it's funny that you mention in such wording what you just did, because we'd covered that in no uncertain terms in the first hour, much of which you just said almost word for word. I want to turn it over to my co-host, who was not here with us last week when you were on, Winston Smith, who I'm sure, like everyone else, has heard about this story and has been tracking this story. Winston, do you have a question for former Representative Duke?
Hi, Winston. Good to talk to you again.
Well, hello, Dr. Duke. James did not tell me I would be on with you. I have to tell you that the nice lady who is transcribing this for me, she is somewhat starstruck that she's getting to transcribe your words. She's very honored.
Oh, that's great.
In case you didn't know, I'll inform you very quickly that Winston lost the ability of his hearing a few years ago, and he appears with us now occasionally with the assistance of a courtroom transcriptionist. Winston dials into a chat room. She listens to the show live and transcribes as it is being.
Very courageous of him, and we certainly appreciate him. And he may be hearing impaired, but he's absolutely mentally acute, and he's also courageous, and he's not impaired in his courage to stand up for the true American spirit and values in this country, and that's the main thing.
Hear, hear. And with that being said, Winston, the question to you.
Dr. Duke, what galls me most about this situation with Representative Scalise is that for 20 years, Barack Hussein Obama sat under the teachings of one of the most racist, most bigoted, most rhetorically violent people I've ever heard speak, Jeremiah Wright. And, yeah, it was something of an issue during the campaign, but by and large, we were told that it's no big deal. He simply disassociated himself, and that was that. No lingering effects or anything. Also,
well, the Republicans sure don't talk about it, that's for sure.
Yes. Also, for decades, I think not half a century, there was a Klansman in the Democrat Party in the Senate, and nothing was said or done about Robert Byrd. Why is this?
He was leader of the Senate. That's correct, sir. Leader of the Senate. He was the Senate Majority Leader of the United States Congress. But you see, there is redemption for people if they're of certain political persuasions and if they support the real ruling power of America. But there's no redemption or there's no forgiveness for anyone who dares stand up for the interest of truly all Americans instead of this 2% minority that controls us all.
It's sort of an application of the old song that says, people will forgive you when you're wrong, but they will never forgive you when you're right.
That's a good quote. I like that. But, you know, we don't have to worry about their forgiveness. All we have to really worry about is the spirit and the ideals of our forefathers. and the true principles of human rights for which we stand. And that's really what we do stand for. We believe that every people has a right to be free and independent. We believe every people has a right to preserve their unique expression of humanity, control their own affairs. The truth is that the globalists who control our country and control much of the world, they don't believe in any of that stuff. They want to control the currency in everybody's pocket as well as our own. They have worked very hard in their wars overseas that have so cost us trillions. They have totally befouled the whole world with their toxic Hollywood movies that completely promote dope, every kind of degeneracy, degradation, alcohol abuse, sexual abuse. I mean, it's just amazing. If anybody can watch the movies today that are aimed at young Americans, both black and
gotta take a break. Gotta take a quick break. We'll be right back to wrap this show up with our featured guest this hour, Representative Dave Duke.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like their green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, we only have one fleeting segment remaining in tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program, but what a month it's been on this show. The last 4 weeks have been just absolutely incredible. Thanks in part to, of course, the participation in our live broadcast of Representative David Duke, Dr. Duke, last week and, of course, tonight, wrapping up the program. I should say very quickly, and I mean very quickly because we only have a few minutes remaining, 1-866-986-NEWS. That is 1-866-986-9897. 6397. I know we had a flood of callers last week, many of which did not get a chance to be on the line with David Duke. If you would like to get a quick question in, we'll take maybe one or two calls if we can at 1-866-986-6397. David, I was mentioning earlier in the program that the Democrats have announced that they believe that this so-called scandal will be worth tens of millions of dollars. They are preparing fundraising schemes to attack the Republicans for being so-called racists, so-called neo-Nazis, so-called white supremacists, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, the Republicans are doing nothing but running with their tail tucked in between their legs. Just point out again.
The way you should fight that is you get up and say, what? You know, if it's racist to go before a European American organization that simply wants true fair treatment in this country, not be discriminated against with affirmative action, and not have immigration policies that are racistly attempting and purposefully designed to make European Americans a minority in the country that they founded in America, in a country that we were 91% of the population just a few years ago. That's how you go back about this. And the Republicans have been in full flight mode for years. It's interesting, though, the media actually admitted, though, that they literally said it. In fact, the Hayes show the other night on CNN kind of pointed out that it was my political direction that enabled the Republicans to capture the Congress, because I was the first candidate in the Republican Party to actually talk about immigration, make immigration a campaign issue. There was none of that in 1989, as you know. There were no candidates talking about affirmative action. There were no candidates talking about these other critical issues. I certainly did a lot of my campaign about the corruption of the welfare system. So I must say I've evolved a little bit that in my life. The welfare theft is nothing compared to the theft of the big banks like Goldman Sachs and the Federal Reserve. But I was the first candidate that did these things. In fact, Clinton himself, the Democrat, ran on my workfare instead of welfare slogan, which I first created. And so they admitted, you know, that they got elected on this, and now they've got to run from me. It's just really crazy. The truth is that the real people who control this country, they're not Republicans, they're not Democrats, they're not whites, they're not blacks, they're not yellows, they're not Asians, and they're not Hispanics. They are this tiny Zionist minority that controls our media. And for them, the reason why they're so racist against us, why they're so hateful against our people and our rights, is because they see us as their true competitors for power in America. They use the African-Americans, they use the Mexican-Americans, they use the other groups, and they use a segment of our group to basically enable them to have power. We're fighting one another. We don't see who's really controlling all of us and damaging all of us.
And you're being very fair.
Go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was just saying you're being very fair to differentiate between the Zionist or Jewish supremacist element versus the, you know, Jewish guy who owns the local bagel factory. You know, I mean, it's not all even all Jews.
Oh, of course.
You know what I'm talking about? But it's not all Jews even that own Viacom or that own Showtime.
Right, sir. I'm talking about the extremist Jews, of course. But we've got to understand that extremist Jews can control every major Jewish organization and just about every major synagogue in this country. That doesn't mean every Jew is a bad guy. In fact, my book, Jewish Supremacism, was dedicated to a very courageous Jew and a very brilliant Jew by the name of Israel Shahak, who wrote a book called The Way to 2,000 Years, which exposes Jewish tribalism and their tremendous hatred against the rest of humanity. He exposes it all. And so it's, you know, in most of my videos, I often talk about Gilad Osman. I talk about other Israel Shamir. I talk about even Israelis like Yuri Avnery, who was a member of the Israeli Knesset, but who stood up for true rights and true humanity. So yes, you're right. I mean, I don't consider myself anti-Semitic or against every Jew, but we have to understand what's going on here. It's a tribal takeover of America, and this is the only way that Americans can't understand this. Hollywood is completely, I mean, it's taken over every major studio. The news media is done. You know, I urge my your listeners to go to my website and look at my articles. I even have there a taping and a actual transcript of my show that I did on CNN on the Shmerkonish show, which is a big show they have, a weekend show. And in that show, instead of just being an uncut segment the way most shows do, they tape 14 minutes. Now, during the 14 minutes, they cut out all the segments showing where I was showing the even the African-American support who got up and supported me, like James Meredith from Mississippi, who said that David Duke would help reduce the drug.
I want to mention that. I want to draw attention to that. Since you brought it up, I want to draw attention that James Meredith, who was the first black American to integrate the University of Mississippi, was one of your supporters in your signature campaign. And he was one of the people who endorsed you.
And it should be said that he grew up and he realized that the policies of integration really didn't help the African-American people, nor did it help the European-American people. He's for the same thing I am. He's for empowerment of his own community, for them to control their own schools and have the directions that they want there. And he realized as well that Hollywood and the media was destructive of both African-Americans and European-Americans, of course, which it is. In fact, there was another big controversy this week. I'm sure you heard about it. It's the Nicki Minaj case, where in one of my shows, I talked about the absolute depravity, violence, pro-drug use, pro-sexual license promoted by this gangster rap, all by Jewish producers. And this has been a real big issue. There are thousands of articles now and millions of views about all this kind of stuff in the music industry and on music websites all over the world. And the interesting thing is that most young African-American fans of rap actually said everything I said was right, that this was destroying and destructive to young black people. And, of course, destructive segment of whites, too.
All of this is at DavidDuke.com. And while you're at DavidDuke.com, I want to mention this very quickly because, of course, there you can find his interviews with Bill O'Reilly and on CNN with Michael Smirkanish. And you can find this Nicki Minaj story, which is really gaining a lot of traction. But there, too, you can find his new paradigm, which we mentioned last week, for human diversity and freedom for all people. And, folks, if you think you know David Duke, you need to read what he says for himself, not what you've read about him by biased sources. And you can find all of that at his website.
Sure. The other thing this Smirkanish show did was that in the show I talked about how Israel controlled our government. Any patriotic American doesn't want a foreign country controlling our government. It's the only discussion I said you can't discuss. The only the only issue that you can't hear both sides. And guess what? That was cut out of the interview.
Cut out. Cut out.
So he proved my point, exactly what I was saying. Thank goodness I taped it on my cell phone. But you can hear that, and you can look at that, and you can see the red tie. The reason why they cut out Meredith, because they don't want people to understand. They want people to have this idea that we're hateful and repressive against African-Americans, and we aren't. They want the idea that we're truly racist. Racist is a legitimate word. It's become a big word. It wasn't even a word, basically, before before the end of the Second World War. What even the racist? It wasn't really much of a word known to anybody until the 1950s and 60s when they were trying to apply it against white people. But if racism means what they say it means, to be want to suppress other races, hurt other people, harm others, exploit others, then we are absolutely not racist in our position. They are the racists. They're exploiting both blacks and whites. They're putting us in these wars and killing millions of people in their wars. They've also led to a lot of the first and second World War, which killed so many millions of Americans, as Pat Buchanan has shown so effectively. You know, this is the truth. And that's what they don't want us to come over as. They don't want us to, you know, the truth is you and I both, James Edwards and David Duke, what we really truly are, is human rights activists. We believe in the human rights of all people, including our own. We believe every people should be able to preserve its heritage. And if you see things that way, you can actually move and convert your friends, your family, the people at school. But you have to start breaking down this Jewish programming that's been in our media for so long.
Well, and of course, you are absolutely right. I agree with what you said 100%. I hate no one, and I really do hate no one. I know that to be true. I know it in my bones. But, of course, I have no love greater than that of my own family. And so, you know, you can be a human rights activist. You can be a civil rights activist so long as you support the human and civil rights of everyone except for European Americans.
Well, isn't that true human rights? Is the idea that you endorse the same rights for every people as your own? That's not what these Jewish supremacist racists do who control our country.
Thanks for joining.
Well, this issue is learned. We will never be free because they are the true tyrants who are the real racists over us and who are destroying our people and destroying the well-being of every people on this earth.
DavidDuke.com, everybody. That's the final word we have for tonight. Thank you, Representative Duke, for your time. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, James. Your show's great. Love it. Bye-bye.